Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Our service this morning, it is a real joy to welcome you to, for you will have noticed from your orders of service that this is a slightly different pattern for morning worship. In this service, we'll be beginning by confessing our sins, hearing from Scripture, singing hymns of praise, and reflecting on all that God has done for us in our lives. My hope is that this service will be a rich opportunity for us to engage with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so bear with us as we follow through. It will all seem strange the first couple of times we do it, but my hope is as we go along, we will fall into that rhythm of worship on those occasions where we don't have a service of Holy Communion. It's also a real delight to be able to lead this service with each of the members of the ministry team, both our LLMs and our associate priests, because this is something that we all believe we're all doing together in the presence of God. And so if you'll turn to your orders of service, and if you've got your psalm sheets available for a little while, you should have everything that you'll need as we make our way through. Could you please respond with the words which are in bold? This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Would you please be seated? Together we say, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all of their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord.
For he has heard the voice of our prayers.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now, through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts, as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
Having made our confession, let us stand together and sing with joy our first hymn, which is number 252. It is A Thing Most Wonderful.
The cross and sunshine.
night has passed and the day lies open before us, let us pray with one heart and mind. Would you please be seated for our psalm? As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You should all have a piece of paper with our psalms for today on it, Psalm 128 and Psalm 129. It's not often that we get to listen to the psalms in a Holy Communion service, and so this morning, we're going to read through the two of these together, starting with Psalm 128 and continuing all the way through to the end of Psalm 129, and at the end of which we shall say the words in your orders of service, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. So Psalm 128, we say it together. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the toil of your hands. It shall go well with you, and happy shall you be. Your wife within your house shall be like a fruitful vine. Your children round your table, like fresh olive branches. Thus shall the one be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord from out of Zion bless you, that you may see Jerusalem in prosperity all the days of your life. May you see your children's children, and may there be peace in Israel. Psalm 129. Many a time have they fought against me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they fought against me from my youth, but they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, and made their furrows long. But the righteous Lord has cut the cords of the wicked in pieces. Let them be put to shame and turn backwards, as many as are enemies of Zion. Let them be like grass upon the housetops, which withers before it can grow, so that no reaper can fill his hand, nor a binder of sheaves his bosom. And none who go by may say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 49, beginning to read at verse 13. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exalted and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're now going to do the canticle together. It's in verses. At the beginning of each verse, I will say the words up to the diamond, and then you will complete the verse. Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever.
For yours is grace, power, glory, splendor, and majesty.
Everything in heaven and on earth is yours.
Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all.
Riches and honor come from you,
and you rule.
In your hand are power and might.
Yours is the power and strength to all.
And now we give you thanks, our God.
And praise your glorious name.
For all things come from you.
And all your own have you given.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our New Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, starting at the first verse. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. This is the word of the Lord. Now we come to our responsory. So awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead.
And Christ shall give you life.
You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. When Christ, our life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. And now, if you please like to stand, we will say together the Benedictus.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old, save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? If you have a good memory and you are paying careful attention, you might have noticed that this is one of those rare occasions where our gospel reading this week immediately precedes our gospel reading from last week. On the one hand, it's a simple quirk of switching between the seasonal lectionary provision for a Holy Communion at harvest time and the appointed readings for morning worship today. Yet on the other hand, there's something quite profound about taking a step back to explore what came before. I wonder how many times you've noticed a scripture reading begin with the word therefore. It happens quite frequently within the epistles, and we'll carry on with a passage from where we left off last time, and find that our pattern of reading small portions on a weekly basis can risk meaning that we forget the interconnectedness of the scriptures, that which came before. Often in the epistles, the author will have just made a key point in their argument, and that stands as the basis for all that they're about to say next. Forgetting that context can risk treating the new reading in isolation, almost as if it were a standalone bit of divine wisdom, or the scriptural equivalent of a fortune cookie's aphorisms. Likewise, how often do we hear gospel readings like we did last week, where we launch straight into something which Jesus is saying, without any sense of when or where he is saying it? We might know that Luke 12 is roughly halfway through the 24 chapters of Luke's account of the gospel, so it's somewhere after his baptism, which marked the start of his teaching and healing ministry, before the Passover, which begins the sequence of betrayal and injustice, which leads from the Garden of Gethsemane through to his trial and humiliation, and ultimately his passion, dying for us upon the cross. Well, our service this morning is a conscious effort to resist the temptation to treat Scripture as a collection of independent nuggets of wisdom, though many verses of Scripture are indeed worth highlighting and indeed memorizing. Rather, we are seeking to be immersed within the Scriptures by hearing from both the Old and the New Testaments, and by sharing and claiming their words for ourselves by using them in our prayers and our responses. The Psalms and Canticles are particularly valuable in this way, for they offer us prayers which overlap the themes of the rest of the Scriptures and help the whole of the Bible to sink into our hearts and nourish our spirits. I find myself returning often to a letter written by Athanasius, one of the early church fathers and bishop of Alexandria. It's a letter written to a man called Marcellinus, all about the value of the Psalms. And this morning I have to share with you a portion of it now. He writes to Marcellinus, "Son, all the books of Scripture, both Old Testament and New, are inspired by God and useful for correction, as it is written. But to those who really study the Psalter, it yields a special treasure. Each book of the Bible has, of course, its own particular message. The Pentateuch, for example, tells of the beginning of the world, the doings of the patriarchs, the exodus of Israel from Egypt, the giving of the law, the ordering of the tabernacle and the priesthood. The Tritic, which is Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, describe the division of the inheritance, the acts of the judges, and the ancestry of David. Kings and Chronicles record the doings of kings, Ezra the deliverance from exile, the return of the people, and the building of the temple and the city. The prophets foretell of the coming of the Saviour, put us in mind of the commandments, reprove transgressors, and for the Gentiles also have a special word. Each of these books, you see, is like a garden, which grows one special kind of fruit. By contrast, the Psalter is a garden which, besides its special fruit, grows also some of all the rest. And among all the books, the Psalter has certainly a very special grace, a choiceness of quality well worthy to be pondered. For besides the characteristics which it shares with the others, it has this particular marvel of its own, that within it are represented and portrayed in all their great variety the movements of the human soul. It is like a picture in which you see yourself portrayed, and seeing may understand and consequently form yourself upon the pattern given. So then, my son, let whoever reads this book of Psalms take the things in it quite simply as God inspired, and let each select from it, as the fruits from a garden, those things of which he sees himself in need. For I think that in the words of this book, all human life is covered, with all its states and thoughts, and nothing further can be found in man. For no matter what you seek, whether it be repentance and confession, or help in trouble and temptation, or under persecution, whether you have been set free from plots and snares, or, on the contrary, are sad for any reason, whether, seeing yourself progressing and your enemy cast down, you want to praise and thank and bless the Lord, each of these things the divine Psalms show you how to do. And in every case, the words you want are written down for you, and you can say them as if they were your own words." The overall letter is much longer and worthy of reading in full, with its explorations of the many themes contained and referenced in each of the Psalms. My purpose in reading such a long extract is to encourage us to think afresh on the value of the Scriptures that we're hearing and sharing together. Athanasius was not writing a theological treatise to a fellow bishop, but rather he was sharing genuine pastoral and spiritual advice to a man who had found himself in a time of undesired leisure caused by significant illness, advice which Athanasius himself had helpfully received from someone else and passes on. The Scriptures are not valuable simply because they are old and well composed. Their value comes from sharing in the spirit of a revelation of God, who is both directly and indirectly witnessed to through the words of Scripture. By directly, I mean those moments where a text is explicitly talking about God, such as in our New Testament reading, where we have heard the recorded teachings of Jesus. By indirectly, I mean the human reflections and observations which are nevertheless still scripture. For there is a sense in which the Bible is a very human work of literature. Yet it is my contention and firm belief that whilst we can identify the human culture and historical context and local philosophies within the text of Scripture, that the texts are indeed holy Scripture. By that I mean, just as God reveals himself in the Incarnation through the tangible and physical reality of Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again even now, so too are the words of Holy Scripture, which contain and testify to the same revelation of God in all his glory, as part of the sinful human world, the broken and defective creation, which can be and is redeemed, healed, and restored, so that they may truly and faithfully reveal the God who makes himself known to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. In this way, the Scriptures truly are holy Scriptures, which are worthy to be received and profitable for us to dwell with, being inspired and shaped by them, both as individuals and as a church community. To this end, if I can encourage you in anything today, is to learn to love spending time with the Bible, whether that's by reading the Daily Bread devotional text, whether it's by using a reading plan, or by listening to an audio Bible while you go out for a walk or do some chores around the house. Time spent with God's Word is time well spent. My hope is that these refreshed morning worship services, which are indeed similar to the morning and evening prayer services that happen Mondays through Thursdays each week, 8:30 at Holy Trinity and 5 p.m. at St. Margaret's, my hope is that they will encourage us to appreciate and pay attention to the Scriptures, especially the revelation of God in Christ Jesus, who this morning we have heard teaching his disciples. Our reading began by providing an elusive bit of context. Meanwhile, much like the use of therefore that I mentioned earlier, this reminds us to look back at what has happened just before. We find that Jesus has been eating in the house of a Pharisee, and that his answers to their questions had angered the Pharisees and the lawyers, understandably so, given that Jesus concluded all that he was saying by saying, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." He left, and their response was to become hostile to him. No wonder. Waiting to catch him out in something that he might say. Meanwhile, our reading starts, the crowd gathered by the thousands so that they trampled on one another. The scene is vivid. Crowds of people trampling and squashing one another in the throng as they try to get close to Jesus. There's a real sense of contrast here between the enthusiasm of the crowd and the hostility of the Pharisee. There's also a contrast between the commotion and the way in which Jesus conducts himself. Despite all of the people around him, it's clear that he takes this moment to speak first to his disciples. Everything in our passage happens as something of a bubble within a larger scene until a member of a crowd shouts a question to Jesus in verse 13. That Jesus speaks to his disciples in the midst of everything should encourage us, his people, that even in the midst of all that our life and the world holds, he will still speak to us. And here he speaks to his disciples both a warning and a prophecy. A warning that the yeast which is mixed into and becomes the essence of bread of the Pharisees, both their attitude and their doctrines, is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. This refers both to the treachery of a Pharisee, who will scheme to have him unjustly arrested and executed, but also to the proclamation of the gospel by the disciples, that which Jesus is quietly speaking to them right now, which is the embryonic form of the gospel teachings that they will proclaim throughout the world. I can only imagine that the disciples must have been feeling overwhelmed by both the hostility of the Pharisees and the size of the crowd around them. For Jesus goes on to encourage them not to fear anyone but God, and even those who might kill them. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Sparrows are a bird which fly in flocks which tumble over one another in the sky, in groups of up to 50 or so, though when migrating they can merge into much larger flocks. If you can imagine a group of sparrows, or even of starlings, as they cavort and careel through the sky, you can imagine how easy it would be to lose track of an individual bird, just as it could be easy to lose track of a person in a crowd, so big that people are trampling on one another. And yet, God sees you, and not just from a distance, but he knows you personally, even down to the numbers of hairs on your head, or not, as the case may be. And he knows even the innermost corners of your heart. And he says to you, you have value. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth the full price of the blood of my only Son, my beloved, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, that all that believe in him might not perish, but may have eternal life. If you believe in him, if you confess him as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins and trusting in his death and resurrection, then the Son of Man will acknowledge you before the angels of God on Judgment Day. But those who deny him before others will be denied before the angels of God. So let us this day dwell with the Holy Scriptures and discover that we are more valuable than many sparrows. Let us in our hearts reflect on who we are in our relationship with God, that we might choose whether we shall glorify him or deny him, whether we shall stand up for Jesus and trust in his strength alone, by the power of his Holy Spirit, freely given to us in God's love. Amen. I invite you to stand as we confess together our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we sing our next hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, number 513.
Thank you.
We sit or kneel for our prayers. Our intercessions this morning are based on the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. God of all blessedness, we turn to you now with our prayers for others and ourselves, seeking your blessing on all for whom we pray. Lord, you tell us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we pray for those whose spirit fails them, that they might be strengthened in their faith. For those whose poverty is physical, that they might have an equal share in the fruits of your kingdom. And we pray for those, whether because of circumstance or ill health, whose outlook on life is poor, that they might glimpse of hope and purpose in you. Lord, you tell us, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We pray for all who are cast down by grief, whether from recent losses or a deep-seated sorrow over many years, that they might know the comfort of hope, the comfort of love, the comfort of new life. Lord, you tell us, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So we pray for all leaders and followers, for big people and little people, for the proud and the humble, that in acceptance and grace we might all work together for the good of all. Lord, you tell us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. So we pray that we, who seek to live in that very righteousness, might indeed be filled with wonder and joy in this very place. Lord, you tell us, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. So help us to forgive others, that we might know and understand for ourselves the true meaning of forgiveness. Lord, you tell us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So, Lord, replace our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh, and make our hearts pure within us, that we might know your love all the more. Lord, you tell us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. We pray for all who work for peace, peace in relationships, peace in communities, peace in politics, peace in places of conflict, peace for the body, peace for the mind and soul, that all might see themselves and each other as children of God. Lord, you tell us, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we pray for the broken and despised, the marginalized and the downtrodden, the victims and the dispossessed, the refugees and the homeless. Because this kingdom,
Your precious kingdom belongs to them also. These, Lord, are the prayers of your people this day. We ask you to take each one of these prayers and answer them in your own time and in your own way. And in the meantime, we pray that you will give each one of us expectant and trusting hearts. And so, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the collect prayer for today, the 18th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to that which is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Time now for our final hymn. So if you would stand, we'll sing our last hymn, Be Thou My Vision, hymn number 42.
Thank you.
these gifts and those which are given by various other ways and means, that they might be taken and used for your glory. Amen. So, having shared the scriptures together, having brought our needs before God in prayer, and sung his praises together, let us come and draw our service towards a close. God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. Together we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.